Welcome to the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, go to practicalbioethics.org. That's practicalbioethics.org. Today we discuss a program called Sabbaths of Hope. This initiative aims to enable clergy and other faith leaders to address clinical depression, since studies show that people with depression often visit with clergy first before seeking professional help. Joining us on the program are Sue Lewis of the Mental Health Association of the Heartland and Terry Rozelle of the Center for Practical Bioethics. Sue, give us an idea of the scope of the issue from your point of view at the Mental Health Association of the Heartland.
Well, the depression is an extremely prevalent illness. It affects about 18 million American adults every year. That makes it one of the most common problems that we deal with in America. Alarmingly, despite having successful treatment rates of 70 to 80%, 25 to 35% of folks seek treatment, meaning 75% of folks struggle with this illness unnecessarily.
Now, is it the stigma still of depression?
There are really two reasons that folks don't get treated for depression. One is stigma. That is actually not the number one factor cited by individuals. The number one factor is cost. And as a mental health advocate concerned with public policy as well as programming, we are certainly pleased that the federal insurance parity bill was passed, which does expand the chances for folks to be able, if they are insured and are adequately insured, to be able to receive treatment for depression. But cost is a major factor. The second factors have to do with stigma, and they are things like thinking I can handle it on my own or it will go away by itself.
Now, Terry, as someone of the cloth, as a member of the clergy, how have you seen this situation with depression play out?
Oftentimes, people will come to their clergy person or their spiritual leader before they'll go to anyone else, maybe except for their primary care physician. The Center for Practical Bioethics became involved with this issue and with depression as a bioethics issue back in 2004, just 2 years after a major survey had been done in Greater Kansas City by the Mid-America Coalition on Healthcare. They received survey responses from almost 6,400 Kansas Cityans, 31% of whom said that in a mental health crisis, such as depression, the first person they would go to for help would be their spiritual leader. And this is what I've experienced as a clergy person. It's what other clergy experience as well, and perhaps increasingly so as people within our congregations go without health insurance coverage or have fears that if they use their health insurance, it will somehow be used against them at a later date.
Now, as a member of the clergy, did you ever feel, and I guess I'll have to speak to your situation personally, how qualified did you feel to be able to address an individual who comes to you with depression when you knew that you're not an expert in that area and really they should go to a professional to have that issue addressed?
When I first came back to Kansas City in 99, I came to teach pastoral care and counseling at a seminary, at Central Baptist Seminary. And what I've taught seminarians then, what we teach now, is that you're not expected to be a counseling professional as a clergy person. However, you do have to do counseling, typically crisis counseling. What we do is try to get as adept as we can in crisis counseling, doing screening of persons who come to us so as to be very, very good in referral. Typically, we say to pastors, priests, rabbis, others who are not counseling professionals in a licensed sense, we say, if you see someone more than three times for a counseling issue, you might need to ask yourself why. What we're trying to do in Sabbaths of Hope, too, is provide resources. Referral resources, resources like Mental Health America of the Heartland, and other counselors, physicians, psychiatrists, those who can do the assessment and the follow-up treatment that most clergy are not equipped to do.
Sue?
I think it's I was a part of the group that put together the survey that the Mid-America Coalition on Healthcare sent out and the survey responses they got way back in 2002. And I was only slightly surprised by the percentage of individuals who go to their clergy persons first. And folks have said, well, why would you turn first to your clergy person? I think you've got two really key factors here. I think the first one is the fact that clergy are a very trusted source of not only support but of information. That's certainly true in certain ethnic communities, including my own. Certainly in communities of color, the clergy people have a critical role in providing not only the referral to their congregants but also permission to seek that help. The other thing I think that is really instructive is to recognize that the experience of having depression feels for many, many people as though they are cut off from a portion of themselves. They will, it has been described as the dark night of the soul. It has been described as being cut off from God, from community, loss of faith. So depression is felt as a very spiritual kind of an issue for many, many people, and it only makes logical sense then that one would turn to the clergy. The Mental Health Association, now Mental Health America, had some experience in working with faith communities who were trying to figure out what to do. We partnered with the Center for Practical Bioethics because they had the Compassion Sabbath curricula and structure, having worked around end-of-life issues with clergy. We had the mental health content knowledge, and then between us, we had the experiences with working with various kinds of faith communities at various degrees of readiness.
Terry, tell me a little bit about what specifically Sabbaths of Hope is designed to do and how you go about making sure that some clergy get the type of education that they need.
And I'll respond to that by saying, first of all, that a third reason people go to see their clergy person in a mental health crisis is because we're free.
Yes.
And that gets into the other issue then of why does the Center for Practical Bioethics get involved in a project like this? And why does the Healthcare Foundation of Greater Kansas City fund a project like this? And the reason that we're involved, the reason the Healthcare Foundation is involved, frankly, one reason Mental Health America is involved, is because we are concerned about access to treatment and to lesser access to treatment for depression within some populations than in others, and certain individuals over against others. Unless you go to a clergy person who is, by definition, pro bono, their ministry supported by their congregations typically, it will generally cost something to get help.
So over the past 2 years, we've been having programs and educational efforts.
So we educate clergy about depression. We enable them to spot depression where it exists in congregants who may or may not be coming to them specifically for that. We help them to do that screening, to know where there are referral sources and other resources that can be provided by Mental Health America. And in the process of doing that, we begin to break down the stigma. We begin to break down the barriers to for access to treatment. What we don't do is change the entire system, but little steps lead to a better outcome.
Anything that's been surprising to you about this, Sue, over the last couple of years?
I think the thing that has been maybe slightly surprising but very rewarding is how ready the clergy have been to get the information. For years, for the first probably 8 years that I was in Kansas City at Mental Health America, there was sort of the prevailing belief that the clergy people would find someone with depression and just, oh, quick, turn them over to mental health because you're out of your league. Or the clergy would be, please take them off my hands, I'm out of my league. But there was not really much of a collaboration. I think, too, back, 12 years ago or so, what I was hearing is a lot of horror stories of folks who were approaching their clergy and all too often being told, well, you need to pray more. Or, the best solution for depression is on your knees, or gee, I don't know why you're depressed. You're too blessed to be depressed. I mean, these kinds of messages that were very well intentioned and were the kind of support that clergy at that time knew how to give, but that were inadvertently adding to the stigma and reducing the chance of a person accessing the help they needed. What's been exciting in the partnership and in the program is how hungry the clergy are for this information. We actually did a really amazing session a couple of weeks back with about 35 clergy who were working exclusively with Hispanic populations. At the end of 3 hours, they wanted more. We've had to schedule a follow-up session for those clergy people to really look at depression. One of the neat things that has happened is that all of the work and the information that's put in and the resources that are put in culminate in having congregations, faith communities throughout Kansas City observe a Sabbath of hope, where in some kind of way, whatever works best for that community, their church, their synagogue, their mosque will celebrate a Sabbath of hope for recovery from depression. And the resource kit that Terry talked about, which is up on the website, has everything from scriptural selections to hymn suggestions so that a clergy person can, from the pulpit or in a Bible study class or in a youth group or in whatever setting within their church structure and programming works for them, speak about depression in the church, and thereby immediately remove the stigma, immediately let people know that this is something that we care about and that we can talk about here. And I, as your clergy person, I, as a lay leader in this church, am a resource to you to get the help that you need.
Terry, a group that perhaps was someone who was eagerly seeking help was clergy themselves.
That is, in fact, true for lots of people who are church or synagogue or other sorts of faith community leaders. It's not just their congregants, it's also faith leaders themselves who suffer from depression at high rates. Maybe even more so. We don't have very good data on this yet. We're hoping that one of the outcomes of Sabbaths of Hope will be that one of the or more of the scholars who have been involved from local seminaries will actually do some research. Another group that we should mention beyond the clergy that we are having an impact with are parish nurses, or now called congregational nurses, also health ministry committees. More and more churches have, churches and other faith communities, have a nurse who functions in a parish nurse capacity or a health ministry committee. We have done training with the Health Ministries Council of Greater Kansas City that involves parish nurses, and we'll be doing a follow-up training with them later this spring as well.
So, Sue, to wrap this up, where can people go to get more information about your organization?
You bet. We can be reached at 913-281-2221. We serve both sides of the state line in the greater Kansas City metropolitan area and beyond. We also can be reached via our website, www.mhah.org. And if folks are particularly interested in Sabbaths of Hope, they ought to click on to resources. And then there is a Sabbaths of Hope page, which includes not only information about the Sabbaths of Hope program, but it also includes the resource guide that we've referenced here today.
And for more information from the Center for Practical Bioethics, they could go to our website, Terry.
I'd like to conclude with a quotation from another faith leader who participated in Sabbaths of Hope and said that the faith community was enlightened with information for themselves and their families. They learned that all depression doesn't appear the same, that children are victims of this disease as well, and that not talking about it doesn't make it better. In this case, three people sought immediate professional help after this courageous faith leader chose to talk about depression from the pulpit.
Well, thank you, Terry Rozelle of the Center for Practical Bioethics, Sue Lewis of the Mental Health Association of the Heartland. You've been listening to the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, go to practicalbioethics.org. I'm your host, Laurel LeBou. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.